Chapter 26. Boston, Spring, 1998. 3 days later, Kevin got the first letter in the mail. A sealed manila envelope with a return address in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. He was sitting on the floor in his living room, eating cereal and watching Monday Night Football, while talking on the phone with his sister in Houston. Melissa was giving him advice about the stock market, when he absentmindedly picked the envelope off of a tall stack of unopened mail on the floor next to him. He tore the seal, half-listening as Melissa briefed him on the future of fiber optics and the financial health of the tech industry. Inside the envelope, he found a few pages of typed, legal-looking documents. The top page was a letter addressed to him from the Internal Revenue Service. It was a notice of an audit. At the bottom was a phone number he was supposed to call to schedule the first meeting with an IRS investigator. Kevin stared at the letter while Melissa droned on about internet stocks. Then he exhaled. He started to tell Melissa about the letter, reading her the first few lines. Then he cut himself off. "Melissa, I need to call you back." He hung up the phone without waiting for her response. He had known all along that an IRS audit was a high risk for card counters. Often the team would try to keep all of its exchanges below the 10,000 mark per 24-hour period, but sometimes, such as in Louisiana, it was unavoidable. Other times the casinos filled out the forms without even informing players. It wasn't the audit itself that was suspicious. It was the timing of the investigation. Coming right on the heels of the barrings in Vegas and the frightening situation down south, Kevin couldn't help but wonder if he was being targeted by someone who wanted to send him a message. He read through the rest of the IRS papers. Then he picked up the phone and called Dylan. Dylan got Jill on the line, and the two of them talked Kevin into a state of relative calm. He hadn't done anything illegal, and he had declared all of his gambling winnings. Still, they suggested he get a lawyer. With so much money at issue, the IRS wasn't going to back off easily. Kevin hardly slept at all that night. He felt strangely violated by the notice of audit, as if the casinos had somehow reached into his life and bared his private business. Up until then, his card-counting life had taken place outside of Boston. But this was an intrusion of one side of his double life into the other. This was an assault on his home. When the phone rang at 7 the next morning, he was almost afraid to answer it, expecting more bad news. To his surprise, it was his father. "Kevin, I understand you're having some trouble with the IRS. Something about an audit? What's going on?" Kevin rubbed his eyes. Obviously, Melissa had relayed what he had told her about the letter. He could tell from his father's voice that he didn't know anything about IRS audits. He had grown up in a place where any attention from the government was a dangerous thing. "Dad, don't worry, I'm handling it." Jill and Dylan had given Kevin a few names of local tax law specialists, and Martinez already had a relationship with a lawyer who was an expert on gambling law. When the team traveled through airports with large amounts of money, they frequently carried letters from the gambling lawyer to explain who they were. It wouldn't mean much to the DEA or FBI, but it was better than nothing. "Kevin, are you in some kind of trouble?" Kevin closed his eyes, the phone a heavy weight against his ear. He felt emotion building up inside of him. He wanted to open up to tell his father everything, but he couldn't. He needed his father to know that he could handle things on his own. "It's nothing, Dad. I've made a lot of money in the stock market, a lot of capital gains. I must have set off some IRS computer. I've already got a lawyer who's going to clear everything up. There's nothing to worry about." "Okay. You know we're here if you need us."